Hey everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio. If you're watching this on YouTube, you just saw the new video, Speed of Sound, and that's got Brian Tarquin, and it features Joe Satriani, and this is from Brian's latest album called Brothers in Arms, and it features Joe Satriani, members of UFO, Guns N' Roses, Dokken, just so many awesome people are involved in this project. And it's also an album that has songs that were inspired by military soldiers. And we're going to talk a little bit about that since it is Memorial Weekend. But we just want to catch up with Brian anyway. So welcome back, Brian. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Happy Memorial Day to everyone.
Yeah. And I know people are going to be listening to this later, too. We did talk about the album Brothers in Arms. In February, I think you were back on the show. And so I'll link to that, everybody, in the show notes. So you can go check out that interview, but we wanted to touch base with you over Memorial Weekend with all the programs we're doing on veterans and military programs, and tell everybody about what you're doing with Brothers in Arms in regards to giving back with the Fisher's House and who they are.
Yeah, that's great. You know, Brothers in Arms was really written for, you know, in mind of the veterans, dedicated to them, to basically thank them for their service. You know, proceeds will be going to the Fisher House Foundation from the sales, or from, proceeds from everything. And, you know, it was a great project. I was very lucky to get Joe Satriani and a lot of really from the music world, like Vinnie Moore and, Alex DeRosa from Dokken, and just so many great guys, Jeff Duncan from Armored Saint, Travis Stever from Coheed and Cambria. And, you know, it was, a great project. I opened up a donation page with the Fisher House Foundation. And if anybody wants to go there directly, it's all on the press release, and there's a link, and you can everybody go to that specific page for Brothers in Arms to donate towards the Fisher House Foundation. The Fisher House Foundation was opened, I believe, in the early 90s by Zachary Fisher, who was a real entrepreneur and philanthropist. And so he wanted to actually give housing to, I think it all started with him giving housing for veterans' families while, you know, loved ones were being, in the hospital, being either operated or being taken care of in the hospital for returning veterans. So I thought that was a really good cause. And, I had talked to the people over there and they seemed to be really, first and foremost for veterans. And so I wanted
to
push that. I did a lot of, investigation with all these various so-called donations. And, it can get a little dicey of where really the money goes to. Goes to actually the veteran, or goes really more to the organization. And so they seem to be the best ones where they gave most of the money to the veterans. So it was a really good organization. So that I went with them, and it's nice because every time, we only have a few times a year where people can really think about veterans as a whole, and this is one of them, being Memorial Day, I think July 4th, and Veterans Day, obviously, in November. But each time these holidays roll around, I like to really push for
give
the
it
veterans.
An extra kick. I think what's great about your album and what you're doing is in between these observances and holidays, it keeps it at the forefront too, because I think we do, kind of forget, what I hate about Memorial Day is everybody's like, here's your buy your furniture at a discount, come get your car deal. You know what I mean? How it's gone very commercial and it's, you want to remember those who have passed, who have, sacrificed, and your album definitely focuses on the sacrifices, and it's a badass album. Everyone needs it. It's awesome. Yeah. And I know we even on our show on Sunday, we've got you, our big weekly blend, D-Day's on the playlist because D-Day's coming around too. So I think we're going to have to do it again because, you know, we keep playing that song. D-Day is like, it keeps happening. It's a fixture.
But the beginning of June, June 6th, I believe.
June 6th. Yeah. Normandy landings. Yeah. When we're doing another show just on that too, because yeah, it's, I mean, that when you think about these guys that just came in, landed on these beaches that were just full of obstacles, you know, could you imagine doing that?
Yeah, I can't imagine. It's unbelievable bravery just to get up to, you know, get on the beach, let alone scale the cliffs and to get, you know, into the Germans' defensive system. It's incredible. It really is. When you really think about it, and what a huge world effort it was to do it, you know, just to get on the beaches and all of the support and everything. It's pretty amazing.
I know, because I always think, like, if you're coming in, like, they're watching you come in. You know what I mean? There's like a, it's like,
and they mine the fields and they put obstacles and barbed wire and plus they're on a cliff down and they're firing at you, so it's pretty horrific when you think about it, you know, doing something like that.
And then they had the tides, because the tide was going in and out, so they had to work according to the tides and it being in a different country, you know.
Yeah,
it's like you can come from Florida, sunny Florida, right, and then suddenly you're not in sunny Florida anymore, you know.
Yeah, it's really, you know, especially the English Channel, it's really rough. So it's just being able to get over across from England to Normandy was probably a huge feat.
When you're putting this album together and writing the music for it, did you watch like war movies, or I know you're into Civil War history too, but like, did you do any research or kind of go to battlefields or anything for inspiration?
You know, I was always like a real big history buff, and, you know, I majored that in college. And so I love Call of Duty. So I play Call of Duty a lot, especially the World War II campaigns. So I always get myself kind of like in the mood for all of that and start really kind of getting psyched up to do it and going in and, you know, have these different visions and things. I think I said with D-Day, that's exactly kind of what I was thinking of, you know, just the preparation of coming over across and then the actual landing of all these, you know, these crafts that were being the Germans. And then, you know, of course, getting onto the beach and going over and literally by the end of the day, I mean, they started at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning when these guys start, and they're like, you know, till nighttime, but they made a landing base, which is pretty amazing. And it was all in coordination all the way up through Normandy and with the Canadians and the English and the Americans. So it's pretty on Omaha Beach and all of these beaches.
Yeah.
You know,
actually our D-Day interview with Mike Guardia, he's written 25 military history books and award-winning. He's on the History Channel and all kinds of good things. He's awesome. He comes on our show every first Monday, excuse me. And he was telling the story he wrote about in one of his latest books, The Combat Diaries, is the gentleman that actually was the first person to land on Omaha Beach. And he was calling in the ammunition and he's out in the water. And the only light he had to go through the obstacles on the beach was that he had an illuminescent watch. And you got to think back then, you know, and that was the only light he had. And then he was calling it in, but they knew that somebody was calling it in. So he knew he was a wanted man.
Oh my God.
It's a crazy story. It's a really crazy story. But like, that's the thing. It's like, it's not like you're just with your buddies either. This is some serious stuff. And, you know, no way. So it just, when you think about World War II and those early wars, I mean, even when they started using aviation in war, that had to be like kind of freaky when you think even World War I, when we started doing aviation, being the beginning of it and going, hey, we're going to blow each other up in the sky and being the one out there doing it. That's kind of freaky. And being on the ground when they're blowing up things, that's kind of freaky too.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then, you know, they had those gliders that they took in, and basically they pulled by airplanes, and people would drive the gliders to be let go, and then they have to glide in silently behind the lines. That's another, you know, pretty.
Have you heard of Hardwick? It was the guys from Yale that started the aviation part. It's insane. Like, hey, let's just do this. Like, how did that happen? You know, so it's to be the beginning of some of these tactics, I think, just took some cojones. Really.
War really, really brings out innovation with people and how to get around all these obstacles that they were facing.
Yeah, bravery, for sure. So, okay, are you going to do another album like this? Because we also need to talk about the Josie Awards, because you've got those on your belt from before, but now I hear more is happening, more awards. Tell.
Yeah, you know, actually, with the Josie Awards, you know, they nominated the album for Best Instrumental Album of the
That's
Year.
Awesome.
And the you video...
Four, right?
Yeah, and Best Video, Satriani video. And then I got, best producer and best guitar. So it's exciting, wow. You know.
Wow.
But, you know.
That's cool, though. But that's awesome, you know, because, again, that helps it in the spotlight for, you know, like I was saying, these holidays, we for sure want to keep them up there in the spotlight. But every day it's something to think of. And so getting these awards. And so are you going to go to the award ceremony?
I'm going to try, you know, this year. I was going to do last year, but it got hectic. But this year, I think, you know, I'm going to really give it a shot to get there. And at Dollywood or at the old Grand Opry.
That's right. Play D-Day at the Grand Ole Opry or Dollywood. I want to see that happen.
Yeah.
We were just in Nashville, and it's crazy. They had... We went to meet some friends from Holland, and our schedules aligned, which was so awesome. We haven't seen them for so long, and we're sitting there having a beer, and next thing you know, the waitress is singing, and it's like singing waitstaff, the servers, singing servers, I should say. Waitresses is not, we're not to say that anymore, but singing servers. And I was like, hey, that's pretty cool, you know, unless you want another beer, then like, I don't know. No, but they were good. So, and it's not all country, which kind of amazed me. We haven't done Nashville yet, really. And so, it's a little open.
They're pretty open. And a lot of people moved out of LA and went to Nashville as well. You know, it's funny, servers. There was a place in Universal City, Italian restaurant. I forget the name of it, but they had singing servers. It's funny.
It's cool. Yeah, but then you got up on stage and one girl starts singing Freddie Mercury, and I'm like, all right, this is happening. Cool. This is great. We will have another beer. This was good. You know, so but it was kind of an interesting thing, but I think definitely I hope they play the video.
Yeah.
Oh, Speed of Sound, like for everyone to see, because that is cool. That was epic.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you gonna do more?
Like kind of AI technology that I experimented with, and I got a kid from Italy who did it, and he was really cool and really kind of understood the whole thing I was talking about. So I'm actually going to do a video for the Ron Bumblefoot song that he guests on, Luxor, and I'll have a backdrop.
Oh, that's cool. That's going to be cool to do. So was he a singing video guy since he's from Italy? I'm just kidding. So I'm glad you're going to do another one. Are you going to do another album like this again? A collaboration?
I actually have one really all ready to go for later in the year. It's called Brothers in Arms Dukes and Doiks, or however you pronounce it. And basically it has, this is... The new one that hasn't come out yet is going to be like a jazz rock fusion. So I have Jean-Luc on there, who is a famous...
Say that again. You went away a little bit. Sorry.
Oh, Jean-Luc Ponte, who's famous violinist. I have Eric Johnson, the guitarist.
Yeah.
And I have Robin Ford, Steve Moore. I have a lot of guys, a lot of really big guys on that one too. But it really leans towards more like a jazz rock fusion as opposed to being a hard rock. You know, I kind of did all these songs. You know, I wound up with 19 songs by the time the pandemic was over. But I wanted to keep them. I kind of wanted to keep them together as a genre. So I took all the hard, at least the first Brothers in Arms, and so Oh, and the second one is more, a jazz fusion one. So that's why I kept it all together with them. And I even have Jeff Beck's and Jan Hammer's violinist, Steve Kindler, that's on there too. So, it's an exciting album. So that'll be
instrumental too. Instrumental.
There's one on there by a guy named Phil Anaro. I've worked with him in the past. Mm-hmm. He sang Billy Sheehan in the 80s, and he does one song that's actually really good called Red, White, and Blue, and he sings about the whole, it's a ballad, and so it's really good. And Steve Morris is on that as well, so that will be your,
Well, you got to come back, right? You can't leave us hanging on that. You got to keep us posted on this. Well, I'm excited about it because I know jazz is like your background, right? That's kind of your stead rock there for what you do as a musician.
Fusion, kind of. I like the mix of it all. So, like Mahavishnu Orchestra and Jeff Beck and all of those. That kind of like the melding of all those formats. So that's that's kind of like where this kind of really is. So
awesome.
Fortunately, we don't have a lot of fusion type music any longer. It's kind of, everybody concentrates certainly contemporary music on vocals. So.
I like to have a blend of things. I mean, we're the big blend, so I like the blend. Because I don't like the limit. You know what I mean? It's like, if it needs to be this, let it be. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah, I never thought you had to do one style and then you had to stay in that style for your whole life. And, I understand like big bands, big groups like AC/DC and Guns N' Roses, they have to because that's their mainstay and that's kind of where they go. But I like guys jump, I like to jump around. Jeff Beck was like that. He would do one genre and then, he wouldn't limit himself. And I think it makes it for being a better artist as well.
Well, I think also like what you do is you collaborate with so many people on different projects that I think that is always an open door for learning and pushing boundaries. And I think Jeff Beck was really like the king of that. And then not just doing that for, playing with different people, for different projects, he did it and also helped people come up, like tell Wilkenfeld. I'm going to get her name right. You know what I mean? He really helped up and coming artists blossom.
Yeah, and that's what I read about it. He always helped everybody, and he was open to everything and open different. Like he did this rock electronica stuff that I thought was great, and it was just I thought, that kind of stuff was healthy for an artist. And also it makes it more interesting to listen, I think.
Mm-hmm. Just adds those little things because one person can't be everything. I mean, we try.
You don't want to, like do one album and every song sounds the same either, in that same exact thing. So, I always liked it.
Yeah. Now, is this next one going to benefit the Fisher House or have you not made that decision yet or?
Yeah, it'll help the Fisher House as well. Yeah,
awesome. Because you've done other veteran programs too, haven't you? In the past,
yeah, I did the Wounded Warriors one.
That's right,
Wounded Warriors, and I did a Guitars for Vets as well. So I like I like kind of helping when I can, and then be able to direct people. Also, I like to get people to also be aware of where they can donate if they want to donate. And of course, it's hard to get people to donate because nobody really wants to, that willing to donate, get them to, to the page or get them to the link and be able to donate something.
Well, everyone, if you go to briantarquin.com, you can go there and connect and get the album. And then also Fisher House is up on the site as well. It's fisherhouse.org. And that's F-I-S-C, no C in there, excuse me, F-I-S-H-E-R. I thought about the little Fisher animals. Anyway, so again, briantarquin.com. And of course, you can listen on all the streaming places, but go get it right from Brian. Go to his website, go connect there and keep up with him. But yeah, so briantarquin.com is the best place, right, for everyone?
Yeah, I think that or bhpmusic.com. Or, okay. And, you know, maybe you can put down the, I'll send you back the link to go directly to the page where they can donate.
Okay, excellent. Everyone will be in the show notes. Brian, it is a pleasure to have you back on the show and keep us posted for the next one. Maybe we'll do it around Veterans Day, right? We'll just keep going.
Yeah, everyone will do it. I love coming on.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, listen, have a good summer. And thanks again for all you do for veterans and their families too. And because it's also about the music, because I know with our friends, like, you know, if they're out in service, if you're out in, you know, in Afghanistan, you know, back in the day when we were there, you're going to want to listen to some music to get you pumped up and going. So there's the other side of that too. So I think that's
get something from home too, you know, like that connection of American music to them, and especially if they're way out in the Middle East somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks so much, everyone. Take care and happy Memorial Weekend.
Yes. Happy Memorial Weekend. Thank you so much for having me on.